Kiddos can take off. Acts 3 and then Colossians 1. Okay, Acts 3 and then Colossians 1. Okay, the title of this letter is The Acts of the Apostles. Acts 3, verse 12, Peter's doing some public speaking, and he was apostle to a circumcision, so he's talking to Israelites. And in verse 12, he said, "When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though as by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk." Okay, that's the preceding issues going on there where a guy got healed. He says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." And when he said that, they kind of, they don't like to hear that word. So he said it right up in front. That would be, hate speech, all highly offended. "Glorify his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye seek and know, yea, the faith, which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Okay, so in the middle of that verse, the words, the faith, that's the first time that's found in the Bible, the faith, not faith, but the faith, first time that's found, and it's referring to the faith of Jesus Christ in verse 13. Okay, so the Bible is transitioning. Okay, and this is the first public declaration of not a religion. It's a body of faith, and it's called the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you would, Colossians chapter 1. So now when we turn to Colossians in your Bible, it's transitioned fully into now the faith of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. Verse 21, and if you follow closely the punctuation, Colossians 1:21 is one of seven verses in the Bible that doesn't have a punctuation at the end of the verse. I think they found seven of them. Go figure that one. Seven. And then the follow the punctuation, verse 21 down to 29 is all one sentence. So that all goes together. And he says in verse 20, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Okay, reconciliation, two parties at odds, now together, referring to an individual and God, or in this case, Jesus Christ, "in the body of his flesh," okay, now that's Jesus Christ, "through death to present you." Okay, the presenting of the born-again believer is at the end, okay, of that party. So that would be the judgment seat of Christ. God's goal. Here is God's goal for every born-again believer. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's his goal. Everything that happens in your life as a born-again believer is intended to get you ready for that presentment. Now, if you're not saved, everything that's happening in your life is getting you together to face up to Jesus Christ. That's the idea. And then change to the presentment at the judgment seat. Now, how can a person be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable? Verse 23, "If ye continue in the faith, back in Acts chapter 3. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So there's going to be some things that happens in our life that is trying to move us away from the hope of the gospel, and so that we discontinue in the faith. So if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So Paul is the specific apostle, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now, how can he say that? Because he knows that those things are preparing him for the final presentment. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So there are a lot of ideas that God hides. And this one he hid for 4,000 years, and then he revealed it first to Paul. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in ALL. All wisdom, not just a select portion of the Bible. All wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the perfection of verse 22, unblameable, unreprovable, holy. Whereof I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Okay, that's the idea. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help each and every one of us to get something deep in our crawl that we will determine and have a purposed heart that we will continue in the faith. Until we hear that trumpet sound and immediately be translated into heaven. I pray you'd help us to, each and every one of us as individuals, to purpose in our heart that we will continue in the faith in spite of the circumstances of life, in spite of the circumstances of family, whatever, that we continue in the faith in our walk with thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, Peter in Acts 3 is introducing, there's a transition taking place. Okay, and Israel was given a second chance because on Calvary, they said before Calvary, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, okay. And then on Calvary, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the Father said, okay. So he gave him a second shot in the book of Acts. So Acts 2 through 7, you're going to see Peter and Stephen addressing the Jews, giving them that second opportunity. Okay, and in Acts 3, Peter's introducing the opportunity, the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity they have presented to them. And then Paul continues that, the faith. Now, when I say that, I'm referring to those two words together. Not a faith, the faith, a selective faith. Not a religion. Okay, people often mistaken Christians. Okay, they often will say to me, well, you're religious. I said, no, I'm not. And that shocks them. I said, I make fun of religion. Really? Well, you do too, don't you? Well... Okay, so we can laugh about the same thing. Okay, religious found seven times in the Bible. That's it. And in every case, it's always Judaism, Old Testament doctrine. A religion that has outward, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. Faith is inward. The faith of Jesus Christ is transitioning inward. Kingdom of heaven, Old Testament. Kingdom of God, New Testament. It's transitioning inward. So Peter introduced that in Acts 3, but it wasn't completed until Acts 28, where the complete transition was taking place. Then Paul says, okay, I want God's goal for you, my goal for you, all my efforts in life is designed to present you at the judgment seat of Christ, holy, unprovable, unblameable. Okay, unblameable, to be blameless means that you're obeying and believing what you know you're supposed to believe or what you've been revealed to. There are other things you can believe, but eventually you'll get into that, but you at least believe or are trying to obey what you already know. We've already been revealed. That's blameless. Okay, if the American churches today just did what they already know, it would be phenomenal. But a lot of them have dumped that. Okay, unreprovable is a person that has been revealed some things and have rejected it. And then God will reprove them for that. So God's goal for every born-again believer is not only to get saved, to come to the knowledge, to receive Christ, but also to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's continuing in the faith. Now, Paul is saying you got to continue in the faith, not to keep your salvation. That's what the born-again and again-againers do. Okay, but then they shift on that. It's to present us perfect at Christ, in Christ at the judgment seat. That's the continuation process. It's the end of a thing. In Ecclesiastes, the wise sage said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. It's not how you start a race that's important. It's how you end it. It's not how you start a game. It's how you end it. And, you know, the trick that I often play is you just kind of keep it hanging. And then you win, you know, at the end. And that's a real dagger killer. You know, like the other, we had a game, not last night, but the night before. We were losing the entire game. Down by 10 even. Last second, down 2. Boom, phew, basket in, 3-point shot, game over. Oh, that's a dagger, man. It's not how you begin the game, it's how you end the game. And the same is true in life. Now, the glorious thing about God is that he looks at the entire picture. Maybe you've lived a faithful life and you botch it at the end. God is not going to just look at that. But that is important. Remember what he said about David? He said he was a man after my own heart, except in the matter of Uriah. Well, there were other areas that David messed up, but the Lord is looking at that big picture. That's the glorious thing about God. I hate the idea where people say, well, that young person ruined their life. That's not true. They'll have a scar, and some people always pick at it, but their life is not ruined. There's always hope. I mean, as long as you're breathing, there's hope. Okay, and so continually, unfortunately, in this age, many believers have had a bad finish or are heading towards a bad finish because of all the pressures, apostasy, discouragement, disillusionment, you name it, anything can happen. Deception, sidetrack, people getting exhausted, frustrated, overwhelmed, stress. Stress is a big thing people talk about. Stress. Now, Paul here in Colossians is admonishing the believers at Colossae to prepare for the final presentation. He said, get ready. That's the big day in your calendar. Do you got it marked off? Now, we don't know what day it's going to be, but we need to get ready. Now, this presentment for the born-again believer will take place in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ during Daniel's 70th week while all hell is breaking loose down here. The believer is facing the judgment in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. He has to be. It has to be that way because at the end of the tribulation, there's a marriage of the Lamb and it says the bride has made herself ready and that bride is getting ready as a result of the judgment seat. And this is what Christians that think that they're going to go into that great tribulation, I just smile and say, good luck, but you are going to be pleasantly surprised. Okay, unless you've deceived yourself in salvation too, then you just better go to Jordan. Get some land, buy some land, get some food stuff, go to Jordan, hope you can hang it out. But that's how it goes. Okay, but born-again believers will not experience the great tribulation. There will be tribulation, there is tribulation, and Americans, we tend to think that the Bible revolves around America, but that's not the case. The Bible is a Middle Eastern book. Christians in the Middle East are suffering. In Saudi Arabia, they're suffering. Okay, Christians in North Korea are suffering. Okay, and tremendously. I have a picture, had a picture at one time of a fellow that was a failed beheading. Okay, an African failed beheading where it's not the sweet little kind guillotine, one chop, you're done. And it's not one chop, you're done either. It's a knife done. trying to get through the spinal cord in the back. And when they were doing that to this fella, somebody came in and interrupted the whole situation. He escaped. And all the scars in the back and all the problems with that. Okay? And that's suffering. You know, the heater not being turned on, the air conditioner's not working. That's not suffering. Okay? And so we're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? Continue in the faith. First thought I want to give you is the faith of Jesus Christ for born-again believers. There is a variation. The faith of the doctrines of Christ for born-again believers are revealed by Paul. We've all heard this before, Judeo-Christian ethics. Okay, those are the similarities between Judaism and Christianity. There are very unique differences. Now, I know a bunch of Gentiles are pretending to do the Jewish thing, but that's just all pretend. Jesus Christ's ministry was primarily Israeli. Matthew 10, he told the disciples straight up, do not go into the ways of the Gentiles. Why did he say that? Because he was a racist bigot, that's why. Okay, that was his choice. Okay, and secondarily, Gentiles. He did talk to the woman at the well. He did talk to the woman of Canaan. But primarily it was Israel, secondarily Gentiles. Now, Paul, he said, Paul, I know it's going to go against your grain, but we're going to do a switcheroozy with you. I know in your gut you wanted the Jews first and the Gentiles second, and that's the pattern we did follow, but it's going to switch on us totally. It's going to be them Gentiles. And so Paul's ministry developed, became into Gentile first, Jewish second. Now, in his gut, he wanted Jews first, but God's calling said, nope, Gentiles. And God is using us to try to spite the Jews, try to bring them back to God. Okay, so I got a bunch of passages on that. Now, the church time period, in from God's perspective, is a one-generation thing. Even though it's run 2,000 years, it is a one generation in God's calendar. How do I know that? Psalm 22, verse 30 and 31, the crucifixion song, psalm, and it says, a seed shall serve him, and then it says, a generation. Okay, if you go back to, there's two times in the Bible it says, the book of the generation. I say two times. One time it says, the book of the generations, plural, that's Adam. For Jesus, the book of the generation singular, that's Matthew chapter 1. In Adam's generation genealogy, it will say so-and-so and he died, so-and-so and he died, and so-and-so and he died, so-and-so and died. In Jesus' genealogy, it says so-and-so begat somebody, so-and-so begat somebody, so-and-so begat somebody, because there's no death in Jesus' genealogy. One generation. And that's the church time period. In the book of Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. There's a transition from Judaism to biblical Christianity in the book of Acts to the faith of Jesus Christ. If you would, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter is the main character. At the end or in the middle, Paul becomes the main character. At the beginning, it's the Jews. At the end, it's the Gentiles. At the beginning, it's Israel, Jerusalem. At the end, in the middle it goes to Antioch of Syria, and it goes through that. So you have a common saying, you rob Peter to pay Paul. God did that. God did that in the book of Acts. It goes from a religion to faith. In Galatians 2, verse 16, the New Testament believer lives by the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, that's Judaism, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Then verse 20 is sanctification. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, that's today. It appears that God revealed to Moses the religious rites, R-I-T-E-S, of Judaism on Mount Sinai. And it also appears that God revealed to Paul on Mount Sinai the doctrines for biblical Christianity. Because Paul went down to Mount Sinai after he got saved. Rightly dividing the word of truth vitally opens up the scriptures where you can understand it. And that's where people botch it. If they don't see the difference, what keeps you and I safe on the highways is you can tell the difference between a red light and a green light. If you're colorblind, know which light should be on and which should be off. If you don't, stay off the road. Okay? We know the differences. What makes each of us unique is our differences. We'll be all our differences. Aren't you glad it's not the same? Marriage vows. You marry robot number 99 to marriage robot number 77. I love you because I didn't have a choice in the matter. Okay, and so that's what makes us different is what makes us unique is our differences. Our fingerprints, our thumbprints. You would have thought God would have forgot somewhere along the line and made somebody's the same. I mean, isn't God amazing? Okay, and so the faith of Jesus Christ for born-again believers with the adjustments that God revealed to Paul. Yes, there are similarities, but there are some unique differences. Saturday is not the day to go to church, per se, unless you have a special meeting. I know the 7-day disadvantages want to do that, but who cares? I don't care. If they're going to make it the mark of the beast, which they do, well, so what? Doesn't matter. Okay, the faith of Jesus Christ for born-again believers. Now, the second idea is continue to be established and grounded in the faith. Okay, when I say the faith of Jesus Christ, I'm not saying you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and you do WWJD, what would Jesus do? No, that's really not what Jesus Christ expects from us. No, Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. So we follow Christ, but yet we're following under the admonition that the Spirit of God directed the Apostle Paul. Okay? Sermon of the Mount is not doctrine for you and I. It's not doctrine for a born-again believer. If somebody claims it is, I'll give you a sneaky little trick that you can make some money if they're foolish enough to go for it. And I've had several do it, a few do it. $50 here, $100 here. Okay? And Matthew 5:42 says, give unto him that asketh thee. Sermon of the Mount. So I tell a guy, okay, I'm asking for $50. Now, you don't want to make it too high because they won't do it. Well, you don't make it too low. I've had $50 handed, $100. Hey, that's what it says. Okay, and if they're foolish enough, you see, that's why you got to rightly divide doctrine. The devil is more subtle than a beast of the field. The devil will take a truth, twist it, and you'll have somebody knocking on your door and talk about the watchtower. The Jehovah Witness that knocks on your door is telling you a truth about the gospel of the kingdom. It becomes a lie because he pulled it back to this age. He has to survive the tribulation, be good to Jewish people. Then when he gets in the millennium, then he can knock on doors and do it properly. But I wouldn't bet on those odds, to be quite honest with you. That would be pretty slim and none. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we are obligated, in this age, salvation is full and free for any race, for any people, and salvation is full and free in Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. So Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the foundation. But then in 1 Corinthians 3, it tells each and every one of us, take heed how you build on thereupon. That's my obligation. It is my obligation to cooperate with the Spirit of God, building this house on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then establish myself in the faith of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said this, till we all come in a unity of the faith. Now that's a big thing. Catholics would try to tell you we are unified. No, they're not. No, they're not. Especially when one of the priests messing around with the kid in the church, mama is not going to be unified if she's got a brain. Okay? till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the faith of Christ, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That's that JW. That's that Mormon. That's that Baptist that's not rightly dividing the scriptures. That's that evangelical. That's that non-denominational that's not rightly dividing the scriptures. Okay, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so we continue to establish and be grounded in the faith. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. For a person that got born again and then died, it became a 100-yard dash. But to get born again and immediately die is actually, you're standing at the judgment seat clean as could be. Really, if you think about it. Now, I'm not suggesting that. Because the chances of that are slim and none, too. No, the thing is, continue in the faith. It's a marathon. Okay, continue to grow, research, study, discern, adjust. Check your spirit. Check your attitude. Examine yourself. Be honest about yourself. Okay? And the thing is, major on major subjects, minor on minor subjects. Okay? These strong, strange doctrines of the Bible. Don't major on the strange doctrines. I know there's a bunch of strange ones in there, and I can tell you, and I've taught some of them. But that's not going to be our ministry. I'm not going to travel the country talking about the reptilians. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the Bible has that, but that's not a major thing. Look at the major doctrines, meaning God's talked about it more than once, twice, three times, four times, five times. The more God talks about it, that puts it in a major category. Okay, that's very important. Okay, minoring on a minor is you checking your text while you're traveling down the road. Majoring on the major is keeping safe on the road, eyes on the highway. Looking at that is not a smart thing to do. Okay, that's when a minoring on a minor can kill you, right? And so when you're driving on down the road, major on the major, and that's keeping us safe. Going down that road when you're dodging out of traffic 100 miles an hour. Okay, so, and remember that 9 out of 10 ain't bad. I mean, have some grace with people. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. 8 out of 10 ain't bad. Okay, well, I have these 10 beliefs and he's got these other 10. I better, yeah, right. The Bible, the Lord, the understanding of the Lord is infinite. And so the thing is, relax and be patient with others. Be tender towards God. That's the biggest thing in the Christian life. You want to develop a tough hide towards the criticisms of people, but yet your heart is tender where you're willing to even, okay, that I didn't appreciate how that person said it. I didn't appreciate that they did say it. I didn't appreciate that they talked about my blind, but my tender heart will say, okay, can I fess up and actually say it? That's what a tender heart will do. Keep a tender heart towards God. Determined to continue walking with the Lord until death. You see, the Lord blesses long-term commitments to a continuous seeking after the truth. Daniel, let's see, he was probably taken prisoner or a captive around 15 or so, anywhere from 12 to 18 in that range, 15 years. And he's under Babylon for 70 years, so make him 85 years old. And he learned the Bible truth through Jeremiah in Daniel chapter 9. 85 years old, still learning the book. That's a long-term commitment to seeking the truth. Long-term. You would have thought after 85, he would have pretty much had that law and everything memorized. But that's a long-term. That's what the Lord blesses. the Lord Jesus had compassion on the people that listened to him. Why? It's because many of them were continually searching for the truth, even to the point where they did not even eat. They didn't eat for 3 days. And the apostle said, get them out of here. And the Lord said, feed them here. I mean, these people are putting aside food to listen to the truth. Man, we got to honor that. The apostles, he promised in Luke chapter 22 that they're going to be part of the kingdom if they continue. And discipleship is a part of continuing after the truth. If ye continue in my word, continue. It's not a thing where we just, okay, we go away and come back. Continue, 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 continue in the word of God. Okay, not only that, if you would look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, not only do we continue searching, continuing study, we also continue in our vigilance against Satan and his unclean spirits. Continue in that. Continuing to be alert to the devices of the devil. 2 Timothy 3:12. Paul told Timothy, he's a young preacher, he said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The closer we get to Christ coming, the amazing thing about that is the deceivers will appear more truthful than the ones telling the truth. The deceivers will appear. If people sitting in Joel Osteen's church sat and listened to me and then went and listened to Joely Poly, they would think I was the devil and he was Christ manifest in this flesh. Why? Because they're so warped on being deceived. And that's the, when the Lord was on earth, the religious fundamentalists of the day thought he was the devil. And when the devil shows up incarnate, the religious fundamentalists of the day will say that's the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, Benjamin Krim, and the United Nations. That's what they'll do. In verse 13, it says, evil men seduced shall wax worse and worse. Then 14 says, but continue thou in the things which ye have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known his holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, there's that, perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. There's the goal. Unclean spirits are like pesky flies, parasites, mosquitoes. Mosquitoes hang around warm, wet places. Wet water in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. So where you have warm, wet water, dispersed about, mosquitoes are going to show up. And we have to have our spiritual off, which is the blood and name of Jesus Christ. Okay? And people forget that. We sang the one song, When I See the Blood. Now, it's not perverted like one little kid we had down at Rensselaer. He was into this real dark stuff. Here, the kid's not. Maybe he was 10, maybe he's 11. And when he'd asked for a special song, he wanted to sing When I See the Blood. And he's referring to the gory. Kids young, kids into it. And he's we said, nope, we're not singing that one. Why? Because he was getting his inner jollies out of it as a young kid. Okay? And so the blood of Jesus Christ is available to the believer every moment of every day. The name of Jesus Christ. So many believers will take a thread and wrap it around their finger and their finger turns blue and they're not letting the blood in. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. Parents, grandparents, we need to pray for our grandkids and kids every day that the blood of Christ covers them. Because they are faced with so much in these days that you and I would have never dreamed 15 years ago to have to mention transgender ideas. That's how bad and how quick it's getting. Okay, and so We need to be vigilant. Unclean spirits are like pesky flies, mosquitoes, ticks, fleas. And Satan's workers are persistent. You ever get and try to read a Bible and a fly just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back? That fly, I do the best I can to catch him alive. Take his wings off, put him on the table, and sadistically say to it, "Now try it." Okay? Because that's how adamant spirits are. They are not logical. I mean, a fly, you would think he sees this thing beside you, this fly swatter that they'd figured out with all them eyeballs that they have. I mean, they got hundreds of eyeballs. Can't you see that coming? I'm getting you, man. And so that's how we need to be towards the Satan, towards this world. Watch the news, don't believe a thing. I mean, a flag comes up, they're lying. I mean, just don't trust them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." There it is. And if you've been in the Christian faith long enough, you can probably start naming them. Hopefully not out of spite, not out of being a Pharisee, but out of sadness. But by the grace of God. "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit, doctrines of devils." That's entire chapters about that idea. So what can we do? Verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself." Husbands, that didn't say take heed unto your wife. Wives didn't say watch out for him. You know, it's my ministry, just keep him in track. Your ministry, your number one thing is keep yourself in track. Take heed unto thyself. The TH, personal pronoun. "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine." Oh, he did have to say that, didn't he? "Continue in them." What? Both of them. Checking my spirit, checking my doctrine. Examining my spirit, examining my doctrine. A constant vigilance, a constant vigilance. How many soldiers have died because they're walking down, they lost their vigilance and they kicked a toy, all of a sudden they get blown up and their legs get blown. They didn't diligently think that could have been a grenade was planted in there. Constant visit. Same thing happens in the Christian realm. The world and unclean spirits will wear down the believer. And they'll just keep, and they're not letting up. It's not letting up, my friend. I'm sad to tell you that. It's not letting up. And the thing is, we can be more than conquerors. Be strong in Christ. Continue in the faith. And not if you botch it, it's when you botch it. Or when you get sidetracked. Or when you do this. When you do that. Okay? Ask the Lord. Be tender towards the Lord's leading. Get you back on track. It's hard to walk a balanced fence. You ever walk a gate? We used to do that up at Lake County Fair. We'd walk them gates. You know, inch little thing. Inch board. Try to walk that. You're looking for the crisscross area, that's for sure. I preached a message one time. I had a straight 2x4, straight as could be, straight 2x4, and I put AV-1611 on it. Put it up on edge. Walk it. You can walk it. And then I had a warp 2x4. I put NIV on that one. Try to walk a warp 2x4. It ain't going to happen. That's why that book is so important. It's tough enough to stay on that book when it's straight. Well, if you got a crooked book, that's where the churches are at today. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Put that deep down in your craw. I'm going to continue in the faith of Jesus Christ, rightly divided. Tenderize my heart towards God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to, each and every one of us, realize that, yeah, each of us are soldiers of Christ, born-again people. If somebody's not saved, sitting in here, I pray that they'd consider the Lord Jesus to be a perfect foundation. The ones who are saved, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us privately, within our hearts, make a commitment to thee. Lord, I'm going to continue in the faith. And when I get off the faith, asking you to correct me in any fashion you choose. Correct me, be it a person, be it a circumstance. Help me to have a tender heart towards thee. Help my heart to be tender, to continue in the faith. Piano play, the altar's open if you need it. If you want to use that altar to say to the Lord, I'm going to continue in the faith. I don't care what happens, I'm going to continue in the faith. Keep a tender heart towards the Lord. Tender heart towards his corrections. It might be somebody that annoys you that God will give the right words to correct you. A tender heart will consider the words. Continue in the faith. Bring prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, I do pray that you'd help each and every one of us to continue in the faith of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray and ask that the goal would be to stand there perfect in Christ Jesus. Not sinless, we obviously know that, except that we are covered in the blood. Help us to strive for that. Ask the Spirit of God to continually work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.